This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The program that you just heard, the Independent News Hour, is usually on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Stay tuned for EcoLogic coming up. It is 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. We've got Ken Gale.
South Park. And you?
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is EcoLogic for April 8th, 2022. Got to change that script. When your air and water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Nuff said.
Nuff said.
Hi. Joe Manchin is the chairperson of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and he is also a coal baron.
Anyone see a conflict of interest there? No, we're trying to get a hold of Warren Hilbos.
He's Warren. Yeah, Warren is on the line.
Oh, he is.
Warren is. Warren, Reggie, do you have Warren? Aha.
He's on the line.
Okay, Warren. Warren of West Virginia Rising is here. Hi, Warren. Please introduce yourself.
Speak to us, Warren.
While we're waiting for Warren.
Okay, we're going to try again.
Thanks, Reggie.
Yeah, okay. He's out in action right now, so it's probably hard for him to hear the phone call. But West Virginia Rising is doing a coal baron blockade tomorrow, Saturday, April 9th. This is a coal-powered plant that uses coal from Joe Manchin's family company, and they're pointing out the corruption of this senator who is the chairperson of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. They are working, they're going to be meeting up with the Poor People's Campaign, which is on a march through the state of West Virginia. This is really important to everybody, not just to West Virginians. This is an issue that affects us all, given, you know, Manchin's position in the Senate and how he keeps blocking bills, not just energy bills, the child tax bill. It's as true corruption, and right. West
Try
Virginia
again.
Is saying we've had enough.
Warren, is that you?
Yes. I believe I can hear that. Can you all hear me?
Okay.
Oh, great.
So tell us a little bit from your perspective.
Well, first of all, introduce yourself, Warren.
Hi, everybody. My name is Warren Hillsboss. I'm one of the West Virginia organizers with the West Virginia Rising Coal Baron Blockade coming up tomorrow. And I am actually en route right now, apologize for the technical difficulties, towards our smaller action here in Fairmont this afternoon.
What's happening in Fairmont?
We're going to be having a small demo in March through the heart of downtown Fairmont, West Virginia, where Manchin's senatorial office and his business office are both located. We're actually going to be marching from one to the other throughout the course of this this interview and conversation. I hope it'll make for a cool, more involved event.
Great. So, and what do you have planned for tomorrow? You're going to be at a coal plant?
Yes, we are planning to demonstrate a blockade at around in front of the Granttown Power Plant. Is the primary recipient of the waste coal that Senator Joe Manchin's company sells.
You know, we really we have a New York audience mainly, and we really want to explain to people what is the reason why they should care about coal and about Joe Manchin. I think most of our listeners probably are savvy to that, but why don't you tell us what the you know, how it relates to the whole world and the whole country. A little louder, please. You're breaking up.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, the best I can. The essential nature of everything is that, and I'm sure your listeners are well aware, but our world is very interconnected. It's more a human idea to try to separate things. So the emissions that go into the air from power plants like the ones here in West Virginia end up mixing up and adding to the emissions that affect the air quality and climate of everyone's air everywhere. So that's the first part. The second part is the money, is that a lot of the corruption that makes doing the right thing in America so difficult for so many people really tends to look a lot like the relationship between our elected officials and the companies that tend to run our lives outside of, you know, the government rules. They often work together to try to ensure maximum profit for the smallest number of people. So, you know, whether you're in New York or Massachusetts or Montana or West Virginia, all Americans and most people in the world all share some experience with the inequality that sort of behavior creates.
It's great that you guys are standing up to Joe Manchin. He's made himself a pretty powerful senator with this divided Senate that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something important to understand about Joe Manchin is he likes to present himself as simple and straightforward, but a more careful look at his past history will show that he is actually quite savvy, particularly when it comes to telling people what they want to hear and positioning himself in ways that force important decisions to go through him. And then he's quite blunt about doing what works best for him in those situations once he has that power. So this is not the first time he's found himself at the center of important public debate. It's just the first time on such a large stage.
Yeah, he comes across very charming and grandfatherly. I think we need to really understand how people in power present themselves with charisma in order to get their point across without actually telling us the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can trust, but you still need to verify. It's so important that all people ask the reasonable questions of the people in power, the people who have responsibility for trying, you know, for whether or not our society ends up being fair and free, or ends up being, unequal and exploitative. If we don't ask other questions, if we don't stand up for our rights, that's the first step to losing them.
Uh-huh. And that's true of every political issue that anyone listens to on WBAI. If you don't stand up for your rights, they'll take them away.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's so important that you are doing that right in Joe Manchin's backyard. That is so important because people may think that West Virginians like Joe Manchin or they approve of him. And you're proving that that isn't necessarily the case.
We know you're a West Virginia boy, but tell us about the makeup, the politics of West Virginia. You know, how did they get a Joe Manchin in there?
I'd say there's really three key categories of the West Virginia history and experience that help, you know, keep it from getting too complicated. There's our Scots-Irish, pioneer past and origin, which involves a lot of, honest, independence, both economically and politically, and all of that. Folks really made their own way here. Then you have the introduction of industry and the rise of the labor movement. A lot of people may not realize that a lot of the labor movement we know today really was started and had some of its biggest and most important successes here in West Virginia first.
Just a few years ago was the 100th anniversary of Blair Mountain.
Exactly. And before the coal miners decided to stand up and face company violence if necessary, a lot of American workers weren't sure whether they really had what it took to take the power back and insist on their fair, and humane treatment in the workplace. Yeah. And so there was, that's where a lot of, Democratic politics versus Republican politics starts to come into the mix, is that, the Democratic Party did a good job at one time of really working closely with the labor movement, particularly from the Great Depression onwards after the mine wars. And that relationship lasted for a long time. But being a rural, extractive industrial state, there are other social cultural currents that also still matter. That independent streak I mentioned earlier, but also, certain religious perspectives and cultural social perspectives have always has certain leanings here. With the rise of modern mass media, you know, talk radio and then, you know, the social media and stuff like that, West Virginians have been prime targets for a lot of that marketing and those wedge social issues. And so it really only leaves someone with deep familial ties, close connections to industry, and a willingness to more or less pander to the both sides of the social wedge issues.
Yeah.
You know, it really makes it so only someone like Joe Manchin can get elected, especially as a Democrat.
Well, right. West Virginia has a pretty high poverty rate compared to most of the states in the U.S., and yet you've had 100 years of coal mining, and I always hear it's touted, it's good for the economy. Coal mining is good for the economy. Don't take our coal mining away. It's good for the economy. How come you have so much poverty after 100 years of coal mining if it's that good?
Point.
It's a very good question.
So,
would people like Joe Manchin be lying about the economy and coal mining, perhaps?
Well, it's a double-edged truth, is the way I tend to look at it, because a lot of coal mining jobs really are, if not great jobs on a, you know, more objective level, they're some of the best jobs that seem to be available. You know, some people do a good job of making a point of pointing out how companies have it very much in their interest when it comes to consumer goods to produce what's called false scarcity, make it seem like things are harder to come by than they actually could be. And the same can be true of jobs. And so while all our politicians will go on and on about the importance of jobs, you can tell that there's a pattern of decision in policy to make sure that the coal jobs really are the only decent jobs around, and there's not enough for everyone. So those folks who can get them, you know, feel that much more, you know, necessary to really hold on to those as tight as possible and not lose them. You know, and does create a certain context of dependency that can make it very hard to consider other options, to think outside that box.
Wow. You know, now I hear the same kind of conversation from New Mexico uranium miners. They know it's going to kill them in their 40s, but they don't care because life is so crummy on the reservation. And it's
absolutely.
Yeah, West Virginia coal miners, New Mexico uranium miners, you guys are the same folks.
Yeah, there's so many common connections that link really all the working class around the world. You know, like we could also bring up, you know, there are children in Western Africa who burn toxic, you know, electronics waste for, you know, trace scraps of gold and platinum that they can sell for pennies. And many of these poor kids end up dying before adulthood of, you know, massive cancers and other diseases from the toxic exposure. And in so many ways, it's the same kind of story for them as well. And, you know, that's where you start having to get into the questions of, you know, the patterns, the system, not just the individual realities, as important as those are too. And that's where we really get to the challenge and importance of this work, is it's not easy. It's not something that's just going to happen automatically.
Margaret Mead says, think globally, act locally. And certainly West Virginia Rising is thinking globally and acting locally. And, you know, saving the planet because the planet's for everybody is the difference between not in my backyard and think globally, act locally. And that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry if I cut out there for a second. But, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that part of the reason why we haven't found our answers to these problems already is because we've tended to be taught that we need to take care of everything ourselves, when in fact our fellow workers, our fellow Americans, our fellow human beings around the world even, we all have bits and pieces of the answer that we need to share with each other. And so one of the big important points, I think, to this whole action is demonstrating the importance of what can be done, what can be achieved when folks do come together and find ways to work together. You know, I want to make it clear that this was not an experience of organizing where everybody was just in agreement all the time, and that, you know, we always knew exactly what we all wanted to do and what we could all be okay with. You know, there were, you know, important, difficult conversations that people had with each other, you know, times where, you know, there were criticisms and concerns and these conversations about stuff. And so that's why that thinking broadly, but focusing locally, is so important, is that helps structure.
So where are you going to be tomorrow?
Myself, I do plan on being out at the plant, right near the main entrance to the plant. I will be standing back a little bit from the main center of the action, in part to be able to make good, clear observations of what's happening.
What town will you be in? What part of West Virginia?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The town nearby is called Granttown, West Virginia. And it is about 30 minutes drive, or about 5 to 10 miles up the road from Fairmont, West Virginia, north central West Virginia.
Warren, we thank you very much for joining us in this segment. As usual, the time flies by, and we do need to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the Zoom afterwards, Warren. For information about tomorrow's action, you can reach Warren Hilbus at www.westvirginiarising.org. That's www.westvirginiarising.org.
Join us next week on Friday, April 15th, Tax Day, to hear about billions of dollars of taxes going to polluters and where our tax dollars could be going.
We have information on a variety of environmental topics, such as the free courses about Passive House next week. And there's so much happening for Earth Day. So to listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Mainstream media will barely cover activists like Warren Hilsbos and West Virginia Rising. They don't report on real ongoing human costs. Their corporate profit interests always move on to the next shiny thing. That's why Ecologic and WBAI are so important. We need to exist.
To keep bringing you these unique programs, Ecologic and WBAI are in need of your support.
We really appreciate and need your support. Help us to continue to bring you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs, and our listener support to radio station needs you.
Go to www.give2wbai.org and click donate. Then scroll down to premium selection, type Eco-Logic in the search box, and browse through 5 pages of Ecologic options, or call 212-209-2950 and say that you want to be a member or contribute monthly as a BAI buddy.
Like so many producers here at BAI, we're volunteers and work hard every week to bring you new information and guests from the front lines of many environmental issues. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list. Those of you on social media, search for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our much-appreciated engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gillard.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next week, Friday, April 15th at 2:30 p.m. to hear about tax subsidies. And April 22nd for our 3-hour Earth Day special at 2 p.m. to 5. Look forward to seeing you then.
WFW in Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. A missile attack struck a train station in eastern Ukraine today, killing at least 50 people. Roughly 4,000 civilians were inside or around the station when the strike occurred, according to a Ukrainian official, with most being women and children fleeing the country. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused Russia of deliberately attacking the station, while Russia in turn blamed Ukraine for the strike, saying its military does not use the type of missile that struck the station. More than 4 million Ukrainians in total have fled the country amid the six-week war. The United Nations General Assembly voted yesterday to suspend Russia from the UN Human Rights Council. The resolution, pushed by the United States, passed with 93 votes in favor, while 24 countries voted no and 58 countries abstained. The U.S. had announced that it would seek Russia's suspension after Ukraine accused Russian troops of killing hundreds of civilians in the town of Bucha. The U.N. resolution suspending Russia expresses, quote, grave concern at the ongoing human rights and humanitarian crisis in Ukraine, particularly at the reports of violations and abuses of human rights and violations of international humanitarian law by the Russian Federation, end quote. Russia denies attacking civilians in Ukraine. Russia's UN ambassador said on Tuesday that while Bucha was under Russian control, quote, not a single civilian suffered from any kind of violence, end quote. Pakistan's political crisis could be nearing its end as the country's Supreme Court ruled yesterday that Prime Minister Imran Khan's move to dissolve parliament was unconstitutional and ordered lawmakers to return. Khan, who was elected in 2018, lost a parliamentary majority last week after a key coalition partner struck a deal with an opposition party. That shift prompted the opposition to announce a no-confidence vote in Khan, but that vote was avoided when the deputy speaker, a Khan ally, blocked the motion. Khan then ordered that parliament be dissolved, with fresh elections to be held within 90 days. Khan framed the attempted no-confidence vote as an American conspiracy and repeated his assertion today that he will not accept its result. In issuing its ruling, Pakistan's Supreme Court said Khan must face the no-confidence vote, which is expected tomorrow morning. More than 1,000 book titles, mostly addressing racism and LGBTQ issues, have been banned from U.S. classrooms and school libraries in the past 9 months, according to a new report from the writers organization PEN America. PEN compiled a database of banned books that includes the first novel by Nobel Prize winner Toni Morrison and a memoir by actor and activist George Takei about being sent to an internment camp in California as a Japanese-American child during World War II. 42 children's books were censored, including biographies of Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr., Duke Ellington, Sonia Sotomayor, and Nelson Mandela. PEN America says the widespread censorship is unparalleled in its intensity and frequency and represents a serious threat to free expression and students' First Amendment rights. Also this week, the American Library Association published its annual report on book censorship, revealing that it had tracked nearly 1,600 book challenges or removals in 2021. That is the highest number recorded since the association began tracking the phenomenon 20 years ago. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 60 degrees and mostly cloudy. In New York City, 59 degrees and partly cloudy. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.